This episode of No Simple Road is brought to you by
Shop Tour Bus.
We're going to get it right one of these times. Let's try it one more time. Ready?
All right.
Here we go. This episode of No Simple Road is brought to you by
Shop Tour Bus.
It was close. It was close.
What do you want? We get it.
They get it. Who brought you this episode? Shop Tour Bus brought you this episode.
Wait, who did?
Isn't that nice of them? Think about that. Shop Tour Bus, Luke and the Roadies digitally packaged an entire episode of No Simple Road in cellophane and put it inside.
What does that mean, brought to you by?
They've made it possible for us to be sitting here tonight with their monetary contribution to our show.
They drove it on the Shop Tour Bus.
They're helping out the family, man. Come on.
You're making me. I just hit that pipe. It was choking. You're trying to get me to think.
They brought it on the Shop Tour Bus to the people.
That's right. They are driving their Shop Tour Bus on No Simple Road.
That's a great analogy.
Thank you.
10 out of 10.
Be here all week. Don't forget to tip your waitress.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All I wanted was an explanation. That's all.
Don't try the veal. Veal's awful. Anyway, Shop Tour Bus, guys. Yep.
Sorry.
Mel's wearing her Fire on the Mountain tiche.
Yes, I am.
Looking fly.
That Ship of Fools design is my new favorite. And I say that every week. I say a new one. But man, that Ship of Fools one, if they make a hoodie with that one, I'm on it.
I know people. I might be able to hook you up.
Hey, guys. Make so, one with a hoodie on it.
The Mississippi Half Step one is too cool.
God, I'm stoned. Don't smoke too much before advertisements, apparently.
No, man. Wow.
Well, it doesn't need to be long every time. Luke loves what we do, regardless of the length.
I know.
So
anyway, head over to shoptourbus.com or at shoptourbus on Instagram, and there you will find all the stuff that we're rambling about right now that you can't see because you're not looking at it. If you start looking at it, you can go to shoptourbus.com and pick out the shirt that you want, and then magic will happen. Not only will you receive that shirt that you ordered or the hoodie that you ordered or the stickers that you ordered, but you're going to get this box.
Goodies.
I'm not there yet. I was on a roll.
I know. I get overly excited about the goodies. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You got excited about the goodies too, baby.
I'm still excited about them. So
goodies. Oh,
you get this box, and the box is hand decorated. There's not going to be another box in existence anywhere on the planet or any other planet like yours. It's going to have some lyric from a Grateful Dead song. It's going to have some cool design in it. Then you're going to get the shirt or the hoodie or the stickers that you ordered. It's going to be tied with a really special piece of twine from the craft store down the street from their studio. And the ink that's used on that shirt is vintage ink that is environmentally friendly. What?
Vintage.
Cool. And then there's going to be a special bootleg that's going to speak to your life inside that box. There's going to be candy, and there's going to be
goodies.
There it is. See? We got there. It wasn't that bad.
And on top of all that, you're going to get shipping
for free.
If you use
Wait,
code.
How do you get shipping for free?
So, okay. Here's the thing.
Not everybody's going to get shipping
no.
for free.
Well,
tell them who will get shipping for
everyone who listens to this show.
No Simple Road family.
Tell them that they listen to us.
Yep. And the way you tell them that you listen to the show is when you check out, you put in the promo code No Simple Road and you get free shipping. And that, you know, look, it's no small thing because if you order two shirts and then shipping's going to be like, what, 15, 20 bucks? You're saving a chunk of change, man. You could buy another shirt with the money that you were going to save from the shipping. Oh my God.
Go buy free shirts.
Or if you're buying something for somebody else for the holidays and you're not sure what to get them, but you love all the designs on there and you're like, Sally would love that one, that one, that one, and that one, and I'm not sure which one to get her. Well, you can get her a gift certificate.
And that's going to happen because they're all awesome. Yep. We all want all of them. So, yeah.
I've got two.
There's a solution.
Ones. Yep.
Excited about it.
See, we're all about solutions here at No Simple Road.
It might take us a roundabout solution way to get there, oriented. But we get there.
We're a solution-oriented group. Cult. Wait.
Cult.
No.
No, I agree.
Family.
Family. That's it.
Family.
So, head over to shoptourbus.com or at shoptourbus on Instagram. Click the link in the bio, and that'll take you back to their website. You'll end up there either way. So just go there and get yourself a shirt, and you're gonna.
Or someone that you love.
Yeah, or buy a present for somebody. You're gonna get more than you bargained for, we promise. I swear. Shop Tour Bus.
Shop Tour Bus. No simple road. No simple road. No simple road. No simple road. Osiris.
Hi, I'm Bob Crawford from the Avett Brothers, and the podcast you're listening to is part of the Osiris Network, a global community connecting passionate music fans with podcasts about music, artists, and culture. For more information about all the shows in our network, please visit osirispod.com. Osiris.
We'll fix it in post.
Fix it in
post. We'll do it live. Fuck it. We'll do it live.
Fuck it.
Hey now, No Simple Road family.
Oh, shit.
How you doing?
He did it again.
All that shit was not being recorded and going out to you guys. Well, guess what?
It's always being recorded.
You never know.
It's true.
When I can hit that mic. Mm-hmm. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Doing pretty good.
Yeah. Whoa, really lackluster. Low energy.
Listen, we just ate heavy dinner.
We just had awesome chili that I made, which
smoked a fat bowl. Yeah. We were just talking about how
everything is really great. It's just the winding down of a weekend of playtime, good food, relaxation.
Yeah,
it's been a really awesome, desirable week.
And this episode is super cool. You know, I think. If there's one thing that I got out of this episode, it's that Daniel Shapiro has a great idea for a restaurant.
One thing I got out of this episode is that Daniel Shapiro is an awesome family man. So yeah. That's my...
Yeah, that too. All about family. This is a lot of great stuff. Stories about
really
his dad.
That.
A lot of really, really good...
It made me want to take pictures of every single thing we do all the time, every day.
You should.
And
because you take good pictures too.
Well,
it would be rad.
Even beyond if they're good or bad, like just having them around for 10 years from now, because in my younger days, those things weren't important to me. When I was in my teens and my 20s, like I never wanted to take pictures of anything, and cell phones weren't a thing then anyway. So it was like you'd have to carry around one of those cameras and then go get it developed and hang on to the fucking pictures and keep them somewhere safe and all that. And like,
or Polaroids that fade and look
crappy.
No,
and when you're a junkie on the street, the last thing you want to do is keep a bunch of old family photos in your backpack. So I lost everything that I had from, like, the only pictures I have of me as a teenager are the ones that Apple has.
I have a couple, too.
Okay. Well, those.
Yeah.
Other than that, like, all of my yearbooks, all that kind of stuff is gone.
Grammy has some.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't. But I know what I look like then.
Grab and give me
if some. I have something, that means you have it. So you have a bunch of stuff that you don't know about.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that just happened. Yeah. I have a bunch of stuff I don't know about.
Yeah.
Cool. So
that's what happens when you have family.
But wow,
you
know, check cool, that out. Like,
one thing that's cool about pictures is I was kind of the reverse. I took so many pictures when Sydney was little, and my mom always had photo albums, and it was fun. And then as the kids started getting older and life started getting busier, I stopped doing that as much. And like even on Instagram and whatever, Facebook and all of that, I don't really post that much pictures of myself and the kids, a little bit. But Daniel, again, he just kind of sparked that thing in me to want to do that again. So I guess Daniel's inspiring too.
Yeah, very inspiring. And I love his take on like how he got into the Dead and the way he feels about the music, and what he said about religion blew my fucking mind. Like, I never put that together, and you guys are really going to dig that. Like, I guess I won't rehash it because you're going to hear it here. Or I guess it wouldn't be rehashing. I won't hash it.
Pre-hashing.
Pre-hash.
Don't pre-hash.
Thank you, Ryder. Right on. I'm not going to pre-hash
with
it for
the words
you.
Over here.
Yeah. So we're going to add, okay. We've got Chandonator. Chandonator is somebody that donates to us on Patreon. We now have Spanky Booty. That's from last week.
Spanky
and you
booty.
All know what a Spanky Booty is now.
Oh, and Spanky Booty.
And now, telling somebody something before it happens is pre-hashing.
Yep.
Yep. So your No Simple Road vocabulary pre-hash. Is growing exponentially week by week. Yep. That's happening. You're not only being entertained, you're getting smarter by the second just by listening to our stone asses.
I can feel it.
You're officially learning a language. Congratulations.
Yep.
I feel smarter.
I'm not that stoned. I'm a little bit.
Okay.
Well, you're over here. Sounds like you have your eyes half-lidded.
Uh-huh. I took one hit of whatever that was, and boy, oh boy.
Keith magic.
Yeah. Yep. Anyway, it's been a good week. It's been a great weekend.
Why has it been a good week, babe?
It's just been really nice around here the past week and a half, 2 weeks. It's been really cool. It's, all the stress that was here a few weeks ago is gone, and I feel like after Pigeons playing ping pong last weekend, was that last weekend?
Yeah.
Yep. Last Friday.
Yeah, it was.
After Pigeons playing ping pong last week, like I feel like the inside of my soul got scrubbed with a wire brush and Clorox. Yep. And I'm all shiny and new on the inside. And then we got to hang out with Driving and Tie-Dye, Erica and Tim, and that was fucking super fun. And it made it feel like the show never ended, and it lasted all weekend. And we got to hang out and talk and get to know each other, and that was super cool. And it's just been really nice having the whole family here and having Sid and Adam in the house, and Jack, your sister's dog, is visiting for the weekend, and him and I don't usually get along, but we're getting along now, and I don't know. There's just reconciliation in the air. I feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Aww.
It's the holidays, man.
It's closer to your birth month.
That's right. It's almost my birthday month. It's going to get stolen by my grandson, and I'll give it to him because he's going to be awesome.
Oh,
he can have the birthday month.
Is that getting stolen, or are you passing it down?
Oh,
I guess I am passing it down. Grandpa is giving you the birthday month, little dude.
He's sharing
it. What if he pops in? I mean, it's possible. I keep thinking it was a Halloween baby.
If he is born on Halloween, they have to name him Evil.
I'm still partial to Evil with an O.
Yeah, and his last name is
backwards.
Wynn.
Yep.
Evil Wynn. But it's
are we supposed to be
backwards.
Talking about that?
Well, look, it's just a name.
By the time this comes out, she'll probably have the baby.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, man. So there's a lot of cool things
Halloween
happening,
baby.
Like
Halloween baby,
that whole becoming a grandparent thing, and
that whole becoming.
Yeah, you know, no biggie.
Oh, yeah.
And Mel getting a new job, and
which I love, and I don't want to say what it is.
And starting her own business.
Yeah.
And if you're out there and you're listening to this right now, and you live in the Portland area or the. You feel like driving, you live down in Eugene, you want to come up and get a treatment from Mel?
You know you're going to be in Portland sometime.
Yeah. Hit us up. You can get a hold of Mel at Kundalini Mom on Instagram, or you can get to her through No Simple Road on Instagram as well. And she is doing facial treatments and Reiki treatments and relaxation treatments, and it's all one thing, and she will squeeze toothpaste that you didn't know was inside your body out of your fingertips.
Bad
you
toothpaste.
Can't just
negative
say
toothpaste.
That.
Ryder, will you explain the toothpaste
That's
out of the
true.
Fingertips?
So inside of your soul, right now, right this very second, there is gunk, bad juju. She will find it, locate it, shift it into your arms, and squeeze it out your fingertips.
Eradicate.
And you feel baptized.
Wow. Holy shit.
That's
so
fucking,
I just had that done to me this morning. This is fresh in my memory.
I had it Friday night, man.
That was a good endorsement.
So let's hear Friday night.
Okay. So, excuse me. After a whole week of office work and sitting at a computer with my shoulders forward and having to recorrect my posture every 10 minutes, my back fucking hurts. And I'm a dude. I don't have skincare products. Like, I don't clean my face every day. I wash my face in the shower and I leave. Like, that's that. And
he does have a dirty face.
I laid down on a heated bed in a really cool basement here at the house. There was really super chill music on. I got covered up. It was all warm and toasty. It wasn't too hot. It wasn't too cold. You massaged my face. You cleaned it. You got every little dot and blackhead out that I didn't even know were a thing. I got a facial massage, an upper body massage. You squeezed all the toothpaste out of my arms. You took these little suction cup things and I was fucking cracking up the whole time because it was making that noise, and it felt like little octopus tentacles going on my face, and it was fucking amazing. And then, like, you know, after you like squeeze a pimple, like your face gets a little angry and hot. She has these two fucking glass. They look like little baby light bulbs,
and they're purple,
and they're they're filled with this weird purple liquid. And she puts them in the freezer and rolls them on your hot face.
Perpetual ice balls. They're amazing,
dude. Yeah, I'm telling this to Alex. You should see the look on his face. It looks like I just like you did magic.
You blew his mind, and everyone listening to this.
Yeah. So then, oh no, that's not all. But wait, there's more. Like. After she squeezed the toothpaste out of my hands, then she went and fucking played the gong. So I got a sound bath at the end of this whole thing and got, like, when the gong is gonging, not like, pong, like nice gong sounds. It, like, if there's any noise in your head of thoughts and whatever's happening, the sound of the gong, like, interrupts the frequency and all you can do is see your third eye. And she played that, and then she quietly stepped out of the room and left me drooling. It was fucking amazing.
That's the best part. You're just sitting there like, I think I'm not a person anymore.
Yeah. And then the amoeba slowly splits into two and three, and then you become a person again.
Congeal back to a human being.
And you sloth up the stairs and all come pie-eyed. Have a cup of tea. Yep. So, point is, guys, Mel started a business. You should get a hold of her.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good business.
That was pretty good endorsement there.
That was a really great endorsement, Dave.
At Kundalini Mom, or you can get her at No Simple Road on Instagram. And come make an appointment. Come hang out. And you get to meet our smiling faces, too. God, that's awful.
Let that discourage you.
Yeah. You can see Darwin.
You get to meet Santa Claus and Darwin. It's pretty cool. But this isn't about Santa Claus. This isn't about Darwin. This is about Daniel Shapiro.
Oh, yeah.
Our brother.
Yeah.
My member of the tribe, Jewish brother. Guys, we know you're going to dig this one, but we're not there yet. Follow us on Instagram at No Simple Road. Follow us on Facebook at No Simple Road. If you haven't done it already, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or whatever you're listening to us on, because that helps the show become more relevant and helps more people find out about the show. And that is how you can show your support for NSR just by clicking some buttons on your phone. Doesn't cost you anything. It's pretty cool. And just to change it up this week, Apple, help me out with the Patreon wrap, dude.
Oh, the Patreon wrap?
Yeah.
Go to patreon.com. And become a Chan donator, like we said. And thank you to all the ones we have out there.
Patreon.com/
Oh, sorry.
No Simple Road. One word.
Yeah.
But why would they go to Patreon? What's the big deal?
Because you're going to get special things from us.
Like
you're
what?
You're going to get porch chats.
What's a porch chat?
No, I wouldn't say back rub. Not yet.
What's a porch chat?
No, we're not doing that. Sorry.
Porch chat is, well, exactly like it sounds. It's where we sit on the porch. And guess what we do?
Chat.
No.
No.
Drink tea.
Okay.
Yeah, so you'll get that. We have stickers that we've talked about.
You've already heard about them.
Chan donators get fresh. Wait, fresh Chan donators love fresh freshables.
Yep.
You'll get one of those.
And you'll also get our gratitude and love. And this is what we always say keeps it going. And this family keeps growing, and we want to see more come on board. And we're going to start doing a lot more things on Patreon. We've talked about.
Well, you guys get to be part of the magic of what it takes to build No Simple Road. So every
that's me building.
Every little cute Chan donated dollar, we do some awesome stuff. We make badass dinners and invite some of our guests over to come join us and eat. We pay for our hosting. We buy new equipment. We buy more weed to make sure that we are nice and stoned.
We don't buy weed with Patreon money.
I just threw that in there. That's okay. What happens when I get the mic.
In a dispensary.
Yeah, we don't spend the hard earned Patreon money on such frivolous things.
The point is that when you guys donate, you guys are doing a really rad thing. You're helping us out if you guys like what we're doing, and you guys laugh with us and maybe even sometimes cry with us. Whatever dollar you're bringing to our life is what we're doing to bring it back to you guys.
And so, they're cute dollars.
How about that? Is that better?
Yeah. There's different levels there on Patreon too. You can give like a buck, which is that level is called cute dollars. And then there's the next level is $5, and that's the Chan donators. And then it's 10 after that, I think, and it's Chan donators deluxe, and then incrementally deluxe, supreme, and something else. So
supreme.
It's Chan donator, Chan donator deluxe, Chan donator supreme, and then No Simple Road family. So yeah, that's how we pay the bills, guys. And yeah. you know the thing by now. I mean, I'm guessing this isn't your first NSR episode. And if it is, hey, welcome to the party.
Yeah.
We love you. Thanks for joining us.
We
every
love
new
ya.
Face is a thing of beauty to behold. Yep. Sure is. The scent of the rose. No, just kidding. Anyway, guys. I don't know what else to say. I'm high. It's evening.
Yeah.
Daniel Shapiro.
Oh yeah. Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen. Without further ado, the No Simple Road family gives you Daniel Shapiro. Did I just hit the record button, everybody?
All right.
We're recording, it's happening.
Okay, so I should start moving?
Yeah, start moving shit around and...
No, mic check.
I don't really... Mic check.
Check mic.
Check, check.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Everything's checked.
Yep. Here we go. It's called Daniel.
Beep, 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 beep.
It's beeping.
Beep, 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 beep.
Beep, beep, beep. Beep, beep, beep.
Hello.
Daniel.
Hey.
How's it going?
We did it.
We did it.
I'm proud of us.
Me too.
Hey, we.
Hang on 1 second. Let me get these levels adjusted. Ding. Can everybody hear Daniel? Okay.
There we go.
All right. Sweet. Good morning, brother.
Good morning.
So what are you doing this morning?
My kid's taking a nap. I'm getting organized and just kind of hanging today.
Right on. Having a nice Sunday, chill day.
Absolutely.
Well, thanks for coming on the show, man. I appreciate it. And just so you know, everybody's here. I'm Aaron.
Daniel, what's up? This is Mel.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good, man.
Good, good.
And welcome to the show. This is Apple.
Hey, Apple, how are you?
Hey, I'm Ryder.
Hey, what's going on?
So yeah, you got the whole crew here. Sitting
excellent.
On the porch Sunday morning. Ryder's eating oatmeal. You know,
it's really good oatmeal.
It's like that. Daniel, man, I really wanted to talk to you because, well, I mean, you and I connected, first of all, through Instagram. And you sent that awesome fanzine our way. And I just wanted to talk to you about your journey, man, like how you got into all this and photography and the whole thing. So I guess, why don't you introduce yourself to everybody out there and let them know what's up and who you are?
You want me to start at like a point of origin sort of thing?
Sure.
Or wherever Daniel
feels whatever like you it. Feel like. How about that?
Yeah, who all is right. Daniel?
Who is Daniel? I'm still working on that one.
Right on.
Aren't we all?
I like that.
But I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and I started doing photography there for fun, like as a teenager, and just had cameras that my dad passed on to me because he was a photographer. And at some point in college, I started working in nightclubs, photographing the athletic community in Cleveland. I got a chance to do video work at LeBron James' 25th birthday, which was pretty insane for me.
Wow.
And then I just continued shooting events revolving around him and friends of his and other athletes and everyone's after parties and birthday parties and kids parties and GQ stuff. And so I kind of, everything sort of sprung from that. I moved to Los Angeles before finishing out my last college course because I wanted a job more than the degree, it seemed at the time. So yeah. I was in LA for a few years and I was working in entertainment and I didn't touch a camera to take photos for almost the entire time that I was in Los Angeles, which was 3 years. And then I moved to New York in 2013 and I've been here since, and I've just been working as a freelance photographer ever since then.
Wow, man.
So Daniel, what were you doing during that hiatus that you said the work? What was the work? You weren't doing photography, so.
I was working with an independent writer, director, and visual effects artist. And I was putting together pitch packages for feature films and TV projects. And I was shooting and cutting video for Ultra Records. So all the like big name brand DJs, at the time, like shooting them at festivals and independent gigs at different venues in Los Angeles and, you know, cutting the videos of that and, you know, some really late nights for a few years.
Yeah. That sounds like it was a lot of fucking fun, though.
It was a lot of fun until it wasn't. So. Yeah.
There's a thing in Vegas.
Most things go.
There's an advertisement in Vegas where, like, it's about gambling. And it's a picture of a person, like, sitting with their head down in front of a slot machine. And the caption is, "When the fun stops." It's like, yep. Yeah, okay, I've had enough now. Totally. Yeah,
absolutely.
So what's the connection with the Grateful Dead world? How did that happen?
Oh, man. So growing up in the suburbs of Cleveland, I had all these neighborhood dads who would listen to this music, and I never really asked about it. And, you know, then when I turned 13, I got my first guitar, and I left the shop with an extra set of strings and a Garcia decal of just his head.
Okay.
And I just looked at this glass case with all these different stickers and decals, and that's the one I was drawn to. And then I sort of started doing my homework from there. And it was one of those, like, headphones on, listening to American Beauty, and just completely falling in love with it, but obviously not being able to see the music at the time, not being able to see it live. Like, I was barely going to concerts as it was at the time, being 13. So right. even into high school, you know, I didn't, growing up in Ohio, like, I didn't have this option. I could see tribute bands and cover bands, and I was in a band myself for 7 years, and, you know, it was something that I could only listen to on CD with my headphones on, and so naturally I started going to Phish shows, and I was introduced to Phish, and still my first show, 9/18/2000, like, I'll never forget it. It was a really crazy show for a lot of reasons. But, you know, I sort of got into the world that way, the world of jam, the world of experimental improvisational music. And it wasn't until Bonnaroo of 2003 that I was able to see, amongst other incredible musicians and bands at that festival, I was able to see that first iteration of The Dead.
It was The Dead then?
It was The Dead. It was, I think, okay. Their very first show.
Okay.
I believe. And it was so crazy. You know, I knew this music, and I knew it from listening to it in friends' cars and at home and stuff, but, like, you know, I'm standing on a lawn with my friends in front of this massive stage, I'd say about halfway back in the crowd, and I remember it was, like, I think Sugar Magnolia, and then they played Unbroken Chain, and this group of people in front of us on the lawn had a blanket set out with these Jerry candles, and they were just dancing around, and I was like, you know, of course, when you don't understand something, you just immediately judge it right away. It's like, you're a young kid, you're like, oh, that looks ridiculous. Like, who are these people? It's just, I don't understand this.
Deifying this guy, yeah.
Yeah, and so, and that's a whole nother conversation about deifying Garcia Stefan. Yeah. We could talk for hours about that. I deified Trey for a few years, so I get a...
you get it.
But he's still around, so it seemed to make more sense to me at the time. But I fell in love with it. And then I was so busy in LA that I didn't even know about this budding online community of makers and doers and, you know, basically like lot merch people who would get together and trade and sell their stuff and have bands play and all. I was so unaware of all of that during that time. I was so head deep into my work that, you know, I didn't catch a single further show while living in LA, which is still like an embarrassment to me to this day. And, you know, I missed all this stuff, and I get to New York, and then I just meet all these people through Instagram back on the West Coast where I just left. And that was sort of my foray into this journey of supporting people in this community and eventually coming to make a project myself with the help and support of others in the community.
Oh, that was weird.
Whoa.
Hello.
Hang on a second. Hang on. We had a bump in the road. Hang on one sec.
Okay.
Poltergeist activity.
Uh-oh.
No, we're good. An alien took over the connection for a second.
I hope it wasn't because I said bad things about people lighting Jerry candles.
No.
It might have been.
I doubt it, man. I doubt it. You know,
Hold on. Daniel, I find something interesting that this whole thing started because of an aesthetic for you. You saw a picture of Jerry's, like, head, and then you got that. Like, that... along with your photography, like, it clearly says something about you on the visual aspect.
Yeah, I was exposed to a lot of different music growing up. My dad was like huge into blues stuff and some rock, and he went through like a smooth jazz thing, which I've forgiven him about. and, you know, so I grew up on like Ray Charles and Stevie Ray Vaughan and, unfortunately, like Spyro Gyra and stuff like that. But on my own, when you're a teen and you're playing guitar, you're learning about all this different kind of music. Mostly at the time where I was, it was, you know, you learn a Dave Matthews riff here, you learn a Zeppelin riff there, and of course you try to play like you're in Metallica and it either works for you or it doesn't. Yeah. But, you know, it's the photo thing is something that I was doing just for kicks. I was taking really crappy portraits of my friends, like in my room or in my driveway or, you know, at family functions or whatever. And, you know, that was all sort of my interest in photography and my interest in playing music kind of came up at the same time, and I just saw this sticker in the store and I was like, that looks really cool. And I bought it, and I think it's still on my first acoustic that's at my family's home back in Cleveland.
Wow. What do you think it is, like, for you personally, that draws you to capturing moments like that? Like with the Dead Dispatch thing, those were really, like, I don't know how to put it, like, I guess super personal and candid moments that you captured. Like, what is it for you? What's the drive to do that?
Well, I think when I was sort of winding down in my 9-to-5 in Los Angeles, and I was just freelancing for a bit before I departed for New York, I was just shooting on the streets of, like, East LA with my iPhone and just trying to be, like, sneaky and take, like, what's classically known as, like, for better or worse, called street photography. And this was a practice that I was growing more interested in, of candid moments, shooting something in the moment as it is, no staging, no posing. And so when I moved to New York, I just started running around the city endlessly taking pictures and sort of getting to a point where I was shooting in the way that I liked and shooting what I liked and sort of curating the images that I was sharing with the world, as everyone does. Whether it's the music you write or the photos you take or, you know, whatever it might be, whatever your practice is. And that really lends itself heavily to this scene and to the lot, because you could be in the middle of the lot or you can be in the middle of Fifth Avenue in New York City. Like, it's buzzing with activity. Everyone is on the move. Everyone's, you know, stopping to, you know, check out what everyone else is doing and making and catching up with old friends and making new ones. And it's just a beautiful space to just try to glide around as a ghost and just capture these moments.
Wow. That's really cool.
Which I was just going to say, it seems like New York, all through history of photography, everything. I mean, New York is like the best playground to, like, capture. Looking at your photos you got posted, there's just such a eclectic mix of all kinds of, you know, races, everything. Just it seems like what a great place to be able to do what you're doing, your craft.
Yeah, it's, I don't know that there's nowhere that I've been that's better for shooting that way. Overall, I mean, another place that I just found that I really like shooting on the street is Italy, all over.
Wow.
And it's wonderful, but, you know, in the US, if you're on the street in public and you take a picture, that's fine. All over the world, it's not the same case. It's sort of a case by case basis.
Do you have to get, like, a release?
To shoot in New York or
overseas, like in Italy,
in some places you can't publish an image if you don't have a release, or,
oh wow,
you know, it's if there's less than four people in a photograph, you're invading someone's personal space. And there's different rules. Whoa. in Spain and France and Germany, you know, people's right to privacy in public is, you know,
different
upheld
than here.
Yeah, it's much different than here. And here, if you're in public, you have no right to privacy, I guess. But the way that you see, you know, people behaving when they feel so free on lot or at a show, they're not really concerned with their privacy, you know, and that's evident. So it's fun, you know. I was photographing people I had never met before, but I'd had these, you know, our relationships were just in direct messages off of Instagram or texting or emailing. And I don't know. This whole thing.
It's crazy how it works, man. I mean, just right now, there's a couple here that are traveling around the country, thriving tie-dye off of, we met them off of Instagram. We met at a show the other night, and they're staying here at the house right now. Like, those are people we had never met, you know, that we just connected with. And it's strange, man. Like, it's, there really is a connection that feels like family because of the music.
Yep.
It there's this shared experience that we have that we all just kind of understand. Oh yeah, you've had that experience too, and it connects us on such a deep level. And I think that's what touched me about the Dispatch, was that it was like looking at a family album of family members I never met.
It was an idea that really started brewing in my head in November, when Dead & Co. did a two-night run at Madison Square Garden here. I did a piece for Vice, for Noisy, their music division, specifically on Deadhead Dads. And I interviewed all these dads who have been to, you know, it was their first show or it was their 300-plus show. Some of them were bringing their kids. Some of them were doing it as an escape from the family life and the daily grind. You know, some of them were coming like from their corporate offices in Midtown. Other people were like, you know, like I'll never forget him. And I don't know if you guys ever met Shaggy, who's always selling like the dyed socks in the lot. He wears a cowboy hat. He's from San Diego. And, you know, I asked him, I said, how many kids do you have? And he said, one. And I said, what does your kid think of you going on tour? And his response was, she hates me for it. So, you know, there's other people that are like, I've been going to shows with my dad since, you know, this year, that year. And, you know, it's become a family tradition. And it's beautiful to see this thing being passed on. And I just figured, why not just sort of capture the moments as they come while I'm at a show enjoying myself. And
well, yeah, I mean, the Instagram and the online community has really added a different aspect to the whole thing, because
well, it seems like the lot has gone onto social media.
Yeah.
And Instagram and Facebook in some instances is the lot scene, and people like yourself. And we just interviewed a couple, Chuck and Claire, and she was doing the same thing for CRB, creating like a family photo album. And for the people who necessarily can't be at every show or every coast, it's a really cool thing to see that broader range of family that we have out there.
Yeah, it's unbelievable how Shakedown is completely gone online year round. And
yes.
And what makes it really, like you were saying, how, you know, sometimes people can't make it to a show or their life circumstances is like they're a teen living upstate somewhere, and where, let's say like upstate New York, and they can't make it to Boulder or they can't make it to the Gorge or wherever to see a show. And they have all these people posting pictures, making show specific tees and other stickers and other merch and stuff. And everyone is just like, just putting it all out there, and it's really beautiful to see what's, you know, come out of it.
Yeah, it's become more inclusive for everybody. And I don't know, I love what's happening with that. Like, I was wondering how the relationship with you and Dale came up, because we also interviewed Dale and he's doing amazing stuff with lot shirts and things like that. So I just wondered how that could come about.
Dale is one of many of the West Coast heads who I met through the Graham Realm and sparked a relationship through just direct messages and keeping in touch about things. And when a friend convinced me that I needed to go to the West Coast for a show, I said, okay, that's it. This is perfect for me to do a zine. I'll shoot City Field here in New York. I'll shoot the West Coast. I'll shoot LA rather. And I met up with all these guys out there, like Dale and Sala and a bunch of others. And afterwards, I was like looking through some stuff and I realized, like, oh, I would love to work with Dale in some capacity on either the cover or maybe like even just like some kind of print to, you know, talk about the fact that I was doing this project or that it was coming out or whatever. And then we just got to talking through email and he's like, here's the deal. This is what we can do. And, you know, I can do the text like this and like that. And I let him know what I was interested in. And it was based on a series of hand painted work that he had done. And he just rolled with it and we just went back and forth. And what you see on the cover and on the inside is the result of that. And it was beautiful. I'm so excited for how it came out and I'm really excited for the next one and to keep working with him on it.
That was what I wanted to ask. So is there going to be more? And I guess that answers the question. Are you going to do more?
Yeah, I'm hoping that I can do another one. I'm not going to be able to make it to Mexico because it's just a little bit out of reach for me. But if another tour is announced in the new year, I will shoot two or three shows and put something together. And I definitely we want Dale. Dale, if you're listening, if you'll have me back for a second round. No, but I would love to work with him again, and I would love to have it printed by my buddy Ted at Terrapin Stationers. Like, I'd love to have him do the printing again because he did such a sick job.
Dude, the graphic design nerd in me opened that thing up and was like, oh my God. The paperweight and the typeface and just the way you laid it out and the simplicity of it. It was so clean and so cool, man.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, should I do it? Are people going to be into it? Like, it's not a t-shirt or a sticker. Are people going to buy a zine, a photo catalog? Like, you know, and it's, and it worked. And
I think for a lot of us, like, there's those moments where you're at shows and either you're too loaded or you're just doing stuff and you take pictures and they just sit in your phone forever and you'll look back at them over time, but it never happened. Nothing ever happens with them, but to have something physical like that is really cool.
And it's nice. I like took a note out of, obviously Jay Blakesburg's book and brought a small little film camera to the show so I could shoot anything I want in the lot and no one to say a word about me bringing it into the venue. And you know,
like a one click camera, like old school.
So it's a film camera that it's got a great lens and it's got a flash that sits on top. And it's it looks like these modern day small digital cameras that they make, but it's old school, and so every security person looks at it and they're just like, oh, that's an old camera, it's fine, go on in. And you can just run around and click, it's autofocus. It can shoot practically in the dark and still get focus, so it really lends itself to catching moments. And you know, whether it's someone like dancing around with like flags or someone interacting with someone else, or you just like, you know, it's anything you see, you can just turn and just click and keep walking and that's it. And then what you end up with is this mass of images. And then I sort of just kind of whittled it down and bounced it off a few people and that was it.
So is there another way, aside from photography, that you lend yourself to the circus of these shows and these festivals that you go to?
As a creative outlet?
Well, just like, so you're going to these shows. Clearly you enjoy the you know, listening to it, the audible aspect of it. Like,
do you
dress up? Do you run around? Like, are you a big dancer? Like, are you chatting it up with everybody? Like, what's the role for you?
So you're asking me what my presence is at the show.
Yeah, what are you bringing to the party, man? I want to know. Aside from the funky camera.
I'm just there to really meet up with old friends and to, in some instances in the last year, meet up with new ones. And I do a little dancing, a lot of just zoning to the music. And when there's really a moment and it catches you, like, I'm fully in the zone, and then I'm back to people watching and taking pictures. So it's a mixed bag, just like it is for everyone. But I'm definitely not out there like spinning in the halls, and that just that was never really my thing, but I appreciate it as much as I appreciate anything else about it. And
it makes for good imagery,
and, like, honestly, I'm just glad that there's a place to be to see it, and I'm glad that it's continuing in whatever form it's taking. And, you know, there's a lot of back and forth on, you know, which iteration is better or worse or whatever. And for me, I just firmly believe that if you're able to see this music live in the time that you're living and breathing, it's a gift. So it's wonderful to catch it.
I love what you do, because when we go to shows, I'm more of a visual person. I like to see a lot of it, whether I'm high or not, with my eyes open. I'm constantly shaking. They'll be dancing with their eyes closed, and I'm the one going, "Did you see that? Look at these people." I love to look around and see people's reactions to what's going on.
Yeah,
and you capture it well. You see those things, and it's like, oh my god, I need to get a picture of that to share with everybody. And you capture it well.
Thank you, man. I used to just be like, oh, that would be a great picture, and then I just started taking it regardless. And, you know, sometimes you have people that are like, why did you just take my picture? And my response is usually, yes, I did. And then I just kind of, hopefully they let me just keep walking. But it's such an eclectic scene. And there's so, as every decade passes, there's a new portion of a generation that's applying whatever aesthetic or vibe it has, and it's entering the scene, and everything's just mixing together. And so you have this really beautiful, like, self-sustaining ecosystem that is, like, so vast, and you have a little of everything. You have a little of you know, you have people still going to shows that, like, were there from day one. And then you have people through, for whatever reason you could imagine, are going for their first show now. And it's just, it's awesome.
Well, the thing you see on a lot of their faces too, you see the same look on an 80-year-old's face as you see on a 6-year-old that's at a show. Everybody just happy, bliss, that community. It's amazing.
Yeah. And it's funny too, for me, you know, to catch people who are at their first show, and, like, their background is music that they've heard on CDs or from that current tour, from shows that preceded that night. And I remember being at Citi Field, and it was like Althea, they're playing Althea, and which was honestly for me like a top song for them of the summer tour. Like, that was just, every version was just better than the last. And I remember these young kids who couldn't have been like even 18 or 19 years old in front of me rocking out, and then they go into Terrapin, and I watch their eyes. They're like, we don't know what to do with this, because this is crazy. This is like, where are they going with this? And then into Drums and Space, and I'm watching the show, but I'm watching them, and I'm seeing I'm seeing the same thing happen to them that happened to me the first time that I listened to these songs. And, you know, it's just an awesome thing.
You know, you brought up a good point too. You know, this thing that started in, you know, 65 with the Grateful Dead doing their thing, and it's grown. It's become this gigantic scene, and it encompasses so much. Like, it's not just the Grateful Dead anymore. It's Phish, and 100 other bands I could name. And
yeah,
that experience that you're talking about, I saw it not last night, night before last, at a Pigeons Playing Ping Pong show. Like, there's a kid standing behind me in a button-up t-shirt with short hair, like, eyes blown, totally dosed out of his mind. And you could see him, like, wanting to dance to the music, but, like, so uncomfortable and, like, not sure if it was okay to move and, like, And I turned around and I looked at him and I was like, we're all here together, brother, let it go, man. And by the end of the show, that guy was fucking grooving out. And it's funny how it transcends even just the Dead anymore. It's grown into this, it's like a psychedelic world that has spilled out of the lot and is taking over venues and an entire scene.
Yeah, I remember at MSG in November of 20 of last year, you know, they were in the middle of Stella Blue, and I'm like shattered. And I'm just like, I'm like crying inside, I'm crying outside, I'm just like having a moment. And before that, like the beginning of that show, I was just so in awe of being there and seeing this. And I don't know, it kind of just floored me. And I went through the whole range of emotions. I went through like joy and dancing to like standing, just zoning and watching them play, and like tears streaming down my face turned Stella Blue. And I'm just thinking, like, this is the best therapy that humankind could ask for.
Yes. Just said that to Melanie this morning. I told her, like, because we went to that show a couple nights ago, and I said, I feel like my soul got scrubbed clean. Like, all the dirt that was on the inside got scrubbed out.
Yeah,
because the funk goes away.
Yeah, you get to leave whatever you're doing, whatever's going on, and, you know, you go there because you either want an escape or you want something that's an aside from what you're feeling, what's going on in your life, or you just want to catch a good show, and then everything just pours through you and out of you, and you leave. It's like, it's an incredibly cathartic experience.
Yeah, I can't imagine being anything else or anywhere else. And it's funny too, like, in talking to other people now, like having doing this show and speaking to some of the musicians and other people that are in the scene and stuff, like, I see this common thread. The Grateful Dead world has created lives for people. Like, when they get turned on to the music, after that, their life is different.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't really know a lot of other bands or scenes that I've encountered that have done the same for me as primarily Phish and now Dead & Company. I wish that I had the opportunity to go see the Grateful Dead. You know, I hopefully would have been in the mindset or in the environment where someone would have brought it into my life, or I would have discovered it at the time and, you know, would have been swept up in it. And, you know, I would love to have seen Jerry, but I'm so glad to see any iteration of it that I can now, because the music is, you know, it's forever and people will be hopefully playing it forever. And I don't know. There's a lot going on in like this very small world, and you have people who are, you know, I have friends that are graphic designers, or I have friends who are like legal consultants, or I have friends who are like student, like, you know, they're students in college, and all of them are doing their thing day to day, but they're all making stickers or tees and or prints or what have you, and they're all sharing it in the digital lot space and on the scene, and they're all part of this this awesome environment. And
yeah,
it's a great, it's like a club with no membership card. Sometimes the fees add up a lot over time, but sometimes the fees are, you know, it's financial. Sometimes it's psychological. Some, you know, it's all over the place, but
that's for sure.
It's so cool. I'm so glad it's going on. I'm so glad that it's happening in a really big way online.
I want to ask you, we glossed over it a while back, but I want to ask you about the deifying thing. You know, because that's a huge part of this, man. When magic happens in people's lives, there seems to be a tendency to want to do that. And I'm just curious what your experience is with that.
Well, I know, you know, there's a lot of major religions in the world, but I feel like the dead is one of the underrated, underappreciated ones. I don't know. It's something that mystifies me even more, because if we're talking directly about the Grateful Dead and Jerry Garcia, like, I was never around to feel that. I was never around to, like, stand at a show and watch him sing into a microphone and play his guitar and look into that crowd. But what I feel from the music almost transcends who it is that's performing it. Mm-hmm. So for me, I looked at Garcia like every teenage boy and girl who is into playing music or into whatever, whether it's music or skateboarding or whatever you can name, they all have their heroes. They're all putting posters on their walls, the magazines, they're trying to dress like, look like their heroes, learn right. as much as they can about their world, and totally become absorbed in this, in that scene, whatever it might be. And I think that happened to people older than myself with Garcia, who were able to see him. I know it happened to me for a time with Tranastasio. I was just completely enamored. There was no one else. People would introduce me to a guitar player and I'd be like, yeah, but have you heard right. you know, have you heard this one Reba from 93? Like, you know. And so it's like that. You build this altar to this group or this person, and it either lasts or it's sort of like slowly fades back to a comfortable place, or it's completely shattered and you move on to something else. And I feel wow. like it's that way with the organized religions as well. You're introduced to something by your family, chosen or, you know, or biological. Yeah. And you learn this set of rules and norms and values and customs and songs and traditions and foods and everything.
Wow.
And then you either stick with it or you go deep or you retract. And I feel like this scene is the same way. I walked into a music festival and someone's like yelling ganja goo ball. And I'm like, what? I'm whispering to my friend. I'm like, what's a ganja goo ball? And he's like, oh dude, you haven't had one before. I'm like, it's, you know, it's like, there's a menu. There's,
what is it? I don't know what
Mel doesn't know what a ganja goo ball is.
Neither do I.
It's honestly, it's just, I can't even really explain it. It's like a rice, I don't know, like Rice Krispie treat type
right.
ball of whatever with like, you know, G13 butter that'll get you just completely spun out of your mind for 2 days. I don't know. There's so many versions of it. I'll find you a really, the grilled cheese, the burritos. Like, I had my first Newcastle on a lot. And then when I was old enough to buy one in a bar, I was like, this is overpriced. I can get one for like,
this isn't a dollar.
Like, yeah. I can get this for a buck in the lot. you know, but like it's weird because when you re-enter society, just like as an aside from all of this, when you re-enter like day-to-day society and like I go to get a grilled cheese sandwich somewhere and I ask them like, oh, do you guys have garlic? And they're like, no, we don't put garlic powder on our grilled cheese. And I was like, obviously you've never been to a lot.
Right. So, there's no rosemary in this
there's
thing?
No what rosemary the fuck? In this. Yeah. So it's, you know, you go into this world and you come out of it and you pass on what you can. And like, you know, my wife put a fish hoodie on our kid today to take him to the park across the street because it's cold out, and he just turned 2 years old. And you know, I've got like a, you know, I play the dead and fish and all this stuff at home, and I've got this like Bob Weir sticker on the inside of my phone case, and I flip it open and he goes, Bob.
Oh,
and
shit.
You know, he doesn't actually have context for who, what, when, where, why, but he's learning it. Like it's something that I think is important that we will carry on. Like my wife's really into the music, and you know, she took me to the Madison Square Garden shows here in New York last November for my birthday. And you know, her parents went, and her parents also went to the shows at Citi Field, and I met so many people in LA who were like, oh yeah, I'm here with my mom, or like, they're like, parents were like, oh, our son couldn't make it, so here's a ticket for face value. Like, you know, it's a generational thing.
Yeah, we got to bring our daughter. Affair. Like, my daughter's 23 years old. I took her to her first show. Was further in, I think, 2014 in Vegas, and like that as a father. One of my favorite moments of being in her life and being her dad is looking down from the balcony and seeing her down on the floor dancing to Dear Prudence. Like
that's incredible.
I get choked up even thinking about it right now, man. Like, and being able to pass that thing on and having them love it the way you do, and even in their own way, is a really beautiful thing. And it's funny what you say, man, because I mean, I've thought that the crossover between like religion and the Grateful Dead or just this music period, but I never put it into that context. I never thought about it like that, that like the foods and the music and the traditions and the words and the language and all of it. I never thought about that before. And it
the symbology.
Yeah. Like the steal your face and, you know, the terrapins and the bears, like, it really is its own thing. Like the only thing that I thought about like as a crossover is like, and I guess this is kind of the same, but like it's kind of like being in a biker gang in a way. Like you can go anywhere in the country, and if there's heads and they're good people, man, they're going to take care of you, and you've got family everywhere.
Yeah, it's no, that's true. And you don't have to be a Hell's Angel to you know, go to a dead show.
No.
No, it's, there is this sense of community. It is like a club, and the membership is international. And, you know, it's, if people need something, like whether it's you're trying to sell a ticket or you're trying to find a place to crash, like if you check people's Instagram stories during tour, it's like a Reddit message board on there. It's like friendly, you know, in search of floor seat for tomorrow night, or going to this thing with my brother, our hotel fell through, does anyone have like a couch or even like a floor we can crash on? And you know, I'd say probably 99% of the time things go down the chain, people are reaching out to everyone, and things get resolved that way.
And magic happens.
And like, this isn't like a dead and company memory for me, but I was on a fish tour and I was trying to get from Camden to Coventry for that very depressing run of that tour before hiatus.
Right.
And I don't really want to get too into all of that. But
that's all good.
That, you know, I go to like get a drink after the show, and I'm like, okay, I'm on this tour. Everyone's like, go on tour. Things work out on tour. Great. And like the cynic in me, the practical person in me is like edging through, and it's like, oh, maybe you like shouldn't try to go there. You don't have a way to get there. And I turn around and I see a guy that I grew up with in Cleveland, and we talk for not even 30 seconds, and I'm getting my backpack that I left under someone's car in the lot, and I'm running over to his brother's car. Someone gets out to go home to Philly. I jump in and I have a ride to Vermont. So,
hell yeah.
It just, things work out. Whether you're in search of it or you turn around and it's just facing you, things always seem to work out.
And it's funny, too, that carries over into the day-to-day outside the lot and the scene, that you can bring that with you. And you got to learn that shit works out. And sometimes I find with myself, like, I forget that is real sometimes. And I fear and worry kind of creep in. And like you said, that practical part of myself starts to overtake it. And then I'll go to a show or hear something, turn on the Grateful Dead channel on Sirius or whatever. And then boom, I'm like, oh yeah, I don't have to worry.
Yeah. It's a self-sustaining organism basically. And
so, I was just going to say, we bring it back again to the religions part, the part about the lot. And the part about, think about like when you would go to church, or at least the old way of envisioning it, where like they would bring these, like, you know, the wives and the grandmas would bake and bring it for the whole congregation. Shit. And everybody would have, you know, their little tea or whatever and eat cake because everybody brought something. And I feel like the lot and the digital lot is what it's done is it brought all of us like to be put in need together. Like just like you said, my brother and my room fell through. Can I come crash? And we're just like, hell yeah, come on down. The price is right. Free. Just exactly. Come chill.
And yeah, it's 100% like that. And like I grew up in the suburbs of Cleveland in like a predominantly Jewish community that had a very religious segment to it. And my introduction to seeing fish live and like leaving my state on a plane to travel and then go city to city was with a modern Orthodox like Jewish friend of mine. And I've had this conversation before where people have said to me specifically, like, this is sort of like, you know, this nomadic thing where you're traveling around and you're like setting up camp here and you're moving there. And it's like this nomadic thing with traditions and its own music and rules and regulations and openness and food and community. And that it's kind of like religion in that way. That's why I like with a smirk on my face, like someone at Dead Night in Brooklyn this summer was selling a bunch of pins and they had like a Steely with a Star of David in it. And I was like, I'll take that one because that's like my favorite crossover.
That's beautiful. Like, you just made me think of like the easy up becomes the sukkah.
Exactly. And it's like, there's so many comparisons. There's been so many articles written. I've pitched so many times to be like, can I do a piece on people who travel and set up lots and go to shows and how that compares to, you know, the history of Judaism and people being nomadic and the food. And it's like, I grew up on matzo ball soup and corned beef sandwiches and delis. And now I've got, you know, grilled cheese and burritos and goo balls and whatever is in the lot. And like, if someone would just combine the two and make a restaurant of like Jewish deli lot food,
holy shit,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's so an amazing idea.
If there's any entrepreneurs out there, you can, you know, get in touch with me and we can work on a menu and
my son is an amazing cook, man. I don't know.
yeah put him in touch. I'd love to, you know, just spitball some ideas.
Cheese with matzo ball soup to dip it in.
Oh my god, that sounds fucking great.
Yeah, matzo lot soup sounds amazing.
Back to something about your photography. I know right now we have a special someone here that's pregnant, and I just looking back at your photos, I gather that's your wife with all the pregnancy photos that you captured.
Oh yeah.
Okay, oh, yeah. You just said there's some amazing shots, and there's nothing as beautiful as a pregnant woman, like the glow and the life that's happening and stuff. And not really a question. I just had to say, I love those pictures, man. I was going through them again this morning, and you really captured it. Those moments of a pregnant woman with that baby growing in them and the magic that's going on.
Yeah, it's, there's, honestly, I never thought about how am I going to photograph this. And like a lot of people who are my heroes in photography who have photographed their own families or themselves even through the whole process and everything. Like, it's so awesome to be able to do that, to be able to like have this, I don't know, I don't even have like the right words to describe.
It seems to me like a tradition.
It is a tradition. And like, I talk about this all the time with friends who are photographers or not, how right now, like, everyone's taking pictures on their phones and, you know, some people do the cloud thing and back up all their images, and other people just keep everything on their phone and they share it on social media and they text it to family and friends and whatever, but it sort of just disappears into this digital graveyard. And I look back to my youth, I have album after album after album separated by year of pictures that my dad took of my mom and of me as a kid and of me growing up with my friends and everything. And I have this preserved, like, between,
that's special.
You know, all these images, like book after book. And I want that for my own family. And I wish that for everyone. I wish that for everyone who's got it. I just, for the first time in, I don't know how many years that I've been working as a photographer doing, amongst everything else, event work, I had someone, one of the dads I interviewed for the Grateful Dads articles, like I shot a family event for him, for his son, and he just reached out and was like, I want to make an album, will you help me with the printing and everything? And I love it. Like, I love when people, I think it's so important for people to print photos, and I have photos of my family printed. I have, like, you know, it's ambitious when you've got a little kid running around and you've got so much life going on to like sit down and pick out photos to print and make the time to actually do it. And I had this arrangement with my wife that, like, once a month, we're going to look at the last month. We're going to pick 10 photos. I'll edit them. We'll print them and we'll put them in an album. We have not gotten around to doing that, but I do have a bunch of prints. And
that's so fucking sweet, though. Like, honestly, like, Daniel, that just like almost brought a tear to my eye. The fact that you said that to your wife, and it never even happened. Who cares? You said that, and I'm sure that you meant it at that moment. And it's freaking sweet.
And that's inspiring. I just saw a spark of inspiration in Melanie and Aaron when you said that. Like, oh,
you just got. I don't know what you guys have, like negatives or digital files or whatever, and like I shoot both. I have terabytes of digital files, and I have like cases and cases of negatives of film that I've shot, and all the stuff I did on the lot was film, because it just, in my brain, it just looks more like real life shooting on film that way. But like, whatever you have to do to take pictures of your family, just do it. Shoot every photo, like every moment you can, all the awkward moments, the candid moments, like anything. It's your life. You just have to capture it, because that's
what a great way to think about it.
I don't know. It's just like when we're all no longer around, and like that's kind of what's left. And that's so important to me. I have that. My parents have that. Like, my dad recently was looking for pictures from his youth, and he was like flipping out because he couldn't find them. And then I was like, no, don't worry, I took those because they were awesome and I wanted to scan them. He's like, okay, good. Aww. I'm just making sure. So
what an amazing gift.
We even have a picture that some like drunk lady on the train in July of 2016 took of me, like with my knuckles, like massaging my wife's back, standing on the subway platform. And she came up to us on the train and was like, I just wanted to tell you, I just took this picture of you guys and I loved it. It's kind of one of my favorite pictures. There's nothing really special about it. And as far as like the photo itself, it's like a very normal, plain moment, but it's our life.
Wow.
You know, so it was pretty awesome.
That you really have inspired me, Daniel. Like, there's when I grew up with my mom, very much like you were saying, like we had a baby book and she's like saved our teeth and our lock of hair and like every little birthday and, you know, graduation. And then you know, I grew up initially doing that with Sydney, and then it just, you know, life just got too much and it just stopped. And so kind of like you, I've got all this digital, you know, pictures and like a huge gap. If you would look at my Sydney from when she was like, you know, five and under, and then digital now.
Yeah.
And there's nothing in between. And it's not like we don't have something to do, but it's like you saying that project with you and your wife that never happened. Like, it just made me think, like, you know, we've got this amazing legacy that we're leaving, and there's a huge part that could be added to that that would make it even more beautiful. And yeah. Thanks for that idea.
It's yeah. Look, I think that there's a lot of stuff that you can do to preserve memories in your family, like whether it's photos, videos, like written stories, audio recordings. Like, I think back to all these relatives that, you know, are no longer around, who I wish I had audio recordings of, our conversations or moments where they were relaying stories. And like, this predated me having a smartphone. Like, I literally had a handheld recorder and I used it infrequently, and I wish I used it more. But like, that's why I think it's so cool to be able to just pick up a camera and have one just lying around all the time. If like my kid's doing something funny or crazy or weird, or it's just a moment that I'm sharing with him or my wife is sharing with him, and one of us can pick up a camera and take a picture, it's awesome, because he'll have that forever.
And our lives go by so fast, man. Like,
yeah.
I'm 46. It seems like just yesterday I was leaving for tour, and now I'm 46 years old and I have my own family, and it's just, you know, there's no space even between it and my head, and it goes by so fast. And like you said, there's going to come a time when I'm not here anymore, and what are these guys going to have to be able to remember that, and on and on. And that's a beautiful gift. And I think growing up, I don't know if it lends itself to being in a Jewish family or not, but tradition is a big deal in Judaism.
Oh, yeah.
And
huge.
Yeah, I think that that's probably the basis of that. And it's just really cool to think that, you know, even this show, like having these audio recordings, someday they're going to be able to listen to this and hear us talk about it. And, you know, thank you, man. Thank you for doing that for your family and for our family, the larger Grateful Dead community, brother. That's a really beautiful gift you've given.
Well,
and that's from the heart, dude.
I appreciate it. And I know how much you guys put out there and how much you work to bring people to other people's attention about what they're doing and what they're contributing in whatever manner. And like, I love my family, and I love this new family. And there's so many people, like it's like a never ending list of people who are bringing so many awesome things to this scene. And I've made so many good friends because of it. And now I'm really glad to know you guys. So
yeah, you made four more today for sure.
Awesome.
And when you come out to the West Coast, you've got a place to crash and a house, and we'll do a Shabbat.
Oh, yes. Or when we make it out there.
Yeah. Beautiful. Awesome. Yeah. It's
we'll make
matzo balls
and grilled cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before we take off, where can everybody find you and all that good stuff?
Basically all roads lead to Instagram nowadays. So you can just find me at Daniel Shapiro. That's my Instagram handle, just my full name.
Aww.
And my website,
Daniel,
is through there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you guys for having me. And when I get the next thing started, I'll absolutely let you know. And I'm hoping to make it to more shows. If I can do a full East Coast run and do an East Coast zine and a separate West Coast zine as like a combined thing, I'll try to do that. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
wow.
You never know.
The love for your family is apparent, and that, to me, that that commends a lot of respect and admiration. And so thank you for today, because I just, you know, you never know who you're going to meet on the other end. And I'm just flabbergasted. I love that. Thank you for being a modern day awesome, you know, man.
A mensch.
Yeah, a mensch.
A mensch.
Yeah, Daniel.
Daniel's
thanks.
A mensch.
Thank you, guys.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon, man. I'll let you know when it's coming out, okay?
Awesome. Take care, everyone.
All right, brother.
Bye.
Take care, man.
Bye. See you, man.
See ya.
Daniel's a mensch.
He is a mensch.
That's fucking rad. That was cool.
That's fucking
rad. Yeah, that was really
That was really cool.
He just made me love my family more.
Aw.
He did. He just going through, like, right before we pressed play to call him, I was looking through his Instagram, and one of the first things I or the last things I saw right when he answered the phone was Shana Tova. And I was like trying to get Aaron to see it, but he was focusing on the interview like he should have been. And so I had that in my head the whole time, and he just brought up so many things about our childhood with the kids and my own, because even before I married you, my aunt was married to a Jewish man, and so I had those traditions before I even met you. So that whole Judaism has been a tradition in my myself for a long time. And just him talking about family albums, and it just makes me sad that I'm not doing it as much, and it makes me excited to get to do it again.
We have so many pictures.
I know. I know.
I have entire drives filled with nothing but pictures from our life that we've never done anything with.
What a fucking beautiful project. What can be more beautiful than pulling out Aaron and Melanie's photo albums? And I mean that, like, big time, because we've had so many people that weren't blood family as part of our family in all the years and all of our Thanksgivings, the Jason Clarks, the Marianas, the Cats, the Sarahs, everybody. And so, like, our family album is other people's family album, too.
Wow.
We need to get on it, baby, with each other.
Well, that was such a special thing to hear, too, what his dad... How his dad was a photographer. Because, I mean, now it's prevalent. Everybody's taking pictures on digital.
But not everybody's doing that.
People didn't do that through the 70s, 80s, 90s. That was the rare. Like, I have a bunch of photos from my mom and dad, but they were rare. They were the holidays. They were not the life in between.
It's the weirdest thing. Mel and I were just saying the other day, like, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And... what your parents do, man, like, you can try and escape it, but in some shape or form, when you're older, it comes back around. Like, Mel was like, do you realize that you're doing a show, and that your dad did shows, and that you're a producer, and your dad was a producer? And I was like, oh, shit.
I had this revelation the other day, because I was listening back to one of the previous episodes, and then a few of the things that Aaron was saying reminded me exactly of his dad. Like, the sound, the quality of his voice, the same type of humor, like, the same type of way he would interject in a conversation. And it made me realize, no matter how personal we try to make our own unique individual person, we still have the remnants of how we were raised and who you were raised by and what we were around. And so,
for good or ill,
for both. Yeah. And I think it's more of a yin or yang as opposed to a good or an ill, because we're going to pick up both yin and yang sides from our parents, each of them individually. And then we have, like, our friends that become like our brothers and sisters. So then they have this huge impact on how their parents were with them. And so we have, like, joy is a huge part of how you grew up.
Yeah, Apple's mom raised me.
Yeah, yeah, so, like,
and I grew up around your dad and your mom, and now in the last 20 years around Melanie's mom. She's like a mom to me, and
absolutely,
a best friend,
and
a
Aaron's
drinking
dad,
buddy, and
so
I'm influenced by the culture of your family, Pete, McGill, you know, all your family. They're amazing.
Yeah, and I don't know. I didn't know that this was going to be a family episode, but it makes sense. We're in October. It's the fall. It's holidays.
We got lots going on. We got a baby coming really soon.
Wow.
We're going to bring out... Soon. Should we just piggyback on this whole thing?
No. Well,
okay.
Follow us on Instagram at No Simple Road. Follow us on Facebook at No Simple Road. Head over to NoSimpleRoad.com, and that's where you can sign up for the newsletter on the family tab, and you can get your NSR merch there. And don't forget the Reddit page, r/NoSimpleRoad, one word. That's where the community gets together, discussions about episodes and shows and what's coming up, and if you need help, and if you're traveling and you need somewhere to crash, you can post up there, and I'm sure everybody will help you figure it out. And that's how the community interacts with each other. And you know what, guys, take fucking pictures, man.
Yeah.
Take pictures of your life. That's what I learned today. It's important.
And make physical copies.
Yeah.
Print them out. Put them in a book.
Yeah.
Stick them on your wall.
Put them on your bedroom
Tattoo
ceiling.
Them on the top of your foot.
There you go. That hurt.
I know.
Would hurt.
I know.
Your mantle's a good place.
Mantle's a better place than tattooing it on the top of your
family. On a skateboard, and you hang it on the wall.
Tattoo a picture of your face on your face.
Okay.
Put a bird on it.
We love you guys. Have a beautiful, magical week. And we'll be back soon with more stuff. And remember, take care of each other because we're family.
Of the current role.